L-I-T-T-L-E-T-R-I-V. 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 L-I-T-T-L-E-T-R-I-V.
The Good Night Show with Neil Triff on WREW-FM. Coming from the east side.
Take a sip. Take a sip. Come on, take a sip.
Take a sip.
How about that baseball game?
Hey.
Who? The Cleveland Indians. I'm just curious why there ain't no cheerleaders for a baseball game. Why ain't there no cheerleaders for baseball?
I love cheerleaders.
You got it for basketball, football.
Because cheerleading is its own sport.
Cheerleading. Are we really going to talk about cheerleading being a sport?
The leg length. The leg strength.
Ooh, the leg length. That is definitely a factor of hotness.
Length is important.
They need strong, powerful abs because they need to show their bellies to the audience.
Long abs.
They need pointy toes so that they can balance when they're standing on each other's heads. They need wide arms so that they can make big letters with their arms.
Woo! Are you kidding me?
It's pretty simple, Seth. I don't see what the problem is. Now take a sip.
You don't see the problem is in what? In the criteria of being a cheerleader or why there ain't no cheerleaders at baseball games?
I say that there's no problem with that there's no cheerleaders in baseball.
Pretty simple that there's no cheerleaders in baseball?
It's pretty simple and it's pretty ridiculous that you're making such a big deal out of something. We got Slider.
You're making a big deal out of something that it's not.
Hey, we should have Slider on the show.
Oh, yeah, the mascot who doesn't talk?
The mascot for the Cleveland Indians is a purple loofah named Slider.
We used to have a producer who would actually go out and book guests like that. And I don't know if you guys ever realized that is the turning point of the show when producer John hung himself. We haven't really had an actual guest on the show aside from a few phone calls, but we haven't had any in-studio guests since producer John.
Mr. Slam.
Yeah, those were telephone calls.
Millman.
I am talking about in-studio guests. Do you want a phone call from Slider? Because that is something we could arrange.
I don't think Slider's up. He's like a big kid. Isn't he like 3 years old? Well, take a sip, guys.
What do you got there?
Peel off the saran wrap and take a sip. You guys each got a cup. What is it? No, hang on. Stop! Oh. What does it smell like?
Latex.
Little Trev?
Fish.
Maybe I gave you guys the wrong... They were on cups. What color is it, Little Triv?
Cream.
Seth?
Tan.
Yellow.
Seth, do you know what you're drinking?
Pee?
I think I know. You gave Seth pee and you gave me...
Clam chowder. I gave...
Oh, that's gross.
Little Trip, I gave you clam chowder, and it's not pee, Seth. It's yellow house paint.
Oh, well, that's a lot better than pee.
Oh, let me have some of that.
Drink the rest of it, here. Seth.
Little Trip, here's a little sample.
Okay.
It's yummy.
Now let me try some of the clam chowder.
Don't let him. Say no.
I already slurped it all up. If you didn't listen, you gave me a... Dixie cups worth.
Oh, less than that.
That's why I thought it was.
Well, I gave you a sixth of the can because Sydney and I had it for breakfast and lunch today. So we had to save some for ourselves. We each drink a sixth of clam chowder for breakfast and for lunch.
And the paint?
Let's back up. Why are you feeding us paint?
Oh, it's called taste testing. I just wanted you guys to see what you'd think when you'd ate it. Plus, it's kind of mean because paint's poisonous. Sorry, Seth. The paint's a little poisonous.
Woo! Are you kidding me?
Well, you drank it too, huh?
No, I don't.
I can't be more messed up than that.
I don't drink paint. I'm not stupid.
But you didn't try it?
You
didn't taste test
you
it? There's a difference
it.
Between taste testing and try and drinking.
I said sip this. You immediately sipped it. Then I asked you what it smelled like, and you said latex. Seth, you poisoned yourself. You shouldn't listen to me. You know I'm full of tricks.
So what happens now? Do I need a stomach pump?
Seth, let me put it to you this way. When you leave your driveway and you see me, you know I never come over your house. But say you look out the window, you're about to go to the supermarket.
If I saw you outside of my house, I'd knew
shoot
something,
me.
I knew something bad
oh,
was
okay.
about to
okay.
happen. I'd either shoot you or I'd know I was going to be killed.
Okay, well, I'm not. Okay, so let's start over. So basically, you're going to look out the window, about to go to the supermarket, and you see me kind of hanging around the end of your driveway. You have to assume that when you get in your car and you back out of the driveway, that you're going to run over a spike because you know I sabotaged your driveway to pop your tires. Do you know why I do things like that?
To humiliate.
To humiliate. To trick. To condescend. To fool. To ridicule. To make people feel less than. And you, Seth, fell for it this evening by drinking a cup of house paint.
Can we move on to something else I kind of wanted to talk about after all the shootings lately?
Oh,
which there haven't been too many. But
any of you guys want a beer? Go get some beer real quick.
Yep, I got one.
That's a yes. Whenever somebody asks if I want a beer, I just open up a beer.
I always got my own beer. Keep it in a plastic baggie.
So let me ask something. Why is it, and I have nothing but respect for the people in the military. I have the highest respect for the military.
I have no respect for the military.
Oh, that's interesting. Lamigan, because
I was in the military.
I was getting to that, Lamigan.
Oh, go ahead. Sorry.
Why is it that people in the military always are the ones that are shooting?
Because they know how to use the guns. I think if normal people knew how to use guns, they would shoot people too. That's why cops are always shooting people. Seth's got a beer.
So if you got the gun and you know how to use it, you're more likely to do the shooting?
If you know how to use a gun, you're going to shoot somebody.
And
case closed.
And I got nothing but respect for the people in the military. So, Lamigan, you were in the military?
I was not in the military, I was in the service.
Woo! Are you kidding me?
It was dark times. You know Syria? You know Aleppo?
Syria.
I know Aleppo, but I don't know Syria.
Basically, what happened in Syria, imagine that happening in the jungle, and that's what I did.
That's where you
guess.
Were?
I mean, that's not what I did. That's
population.
That's just what happened out there. So they gave me a big hose. This is my first job. Like, you know how you show up first day in the job, you don't know crap, and people are pushing you around, getting frustrated. Well, imagine.
And they also don't know your personality.
They don't know your personality. They don't know your sense of humor.
Especially
they don't trust you.
Who are actually very
misleading.
Misleading and sadistic.
So imagine your first day in the job. You're nervous as all hell. Only your job is to control napalm. You have a napalm pump. And you're burning jungles and villages. It's not easy. You feel like crap. So anyway, it was really hard that first day, but, you know, I was good at it. And damn it, they promoted me, but under the table, because the way I did things wasn't what they want to talk about in the files or in the reports that they make to the bigwigs in the government. So what I ended up doing was, I like to call it Blue Ops. I was a Blue Ops agent. Now, do either of you know what Black Ops is?
Operations carried out by the paramilitary. Those the parachuting part of the military. And it's not in the files.
It's not in the files. And another word for that is...
Could you, Seth, explain that a little further?
The paramilitary is a branch of the U.S. government that is weaponized and also equipped with parachutes.
You're wrong, Seth, because... There's no freaking parachutes. So
there's no parachutes where you're going, Lamigan.
How else do you get into the jungle?
In
other than
Vietnam,
a parachute?
They kick your butt out of the helicopter. You fend for yourself.
That's the first time you actually said where you fought.
Oh, I just say in the jungle. Oh, well, I meant Vietnam. So
you're just falling through the canopy,
yeah,
huh?
They got those big black choppers. They just kick your butt and say, "Good luck, Private Lamigan Landon," because your last name comes first on your dog tag.
You got the dog tag?
I got the dog tag, and it says Lamigan Landon, and that's what they call me.
Did you scream your name as you fell through the canopy?
They were screaming my name, but then the fall was so far that I repeated them because I couldn't hear it anymore. So they went, "Lamigan Landon," and then I waited, and then I started shouting, "Lamigan Landon!" So when I landed on the soft, cushy leaves, I was picked up by, you guessed it, a Black Ops paramilitary force, which...
Can I interrupt your story for a second? Is it you were telling me before we got on the air that there were some army guys that thought your name was Brandon? Can you tell that story really quick?
They thought that I was some other guy named Brandon Bramigan. And I said, "Guys, it's Landon Lamigan."
And then what did you do to them to show that your place and to remember your name by?
Well, one of the things we always did out in Vietnam was cutting off the ears and collecting them in a jar. So I thought it'd be funny to show that, you know, you cross me. I don't care if you're on my side. Your ears going in the jar. So I put their ears in the jar. And they're... ears were the biggest ones of all. Big American white meat ears. So disgusting. I looked at that jar every day until the last day at Nam, and then I threw it in the trash can because I didn't need it anymore.
Would you say that your experience in Vietnam shaped your personality? Or was it as soon as you hit the ground, you went crazy?
That's a really good question. But actually, I think my personality shaped what happened in Vietnam.
That's what I was thinking.
I think that just the aura I gave off just gave off this savage vibe where you can do anything to these people, to this jungle, and nothing mattered.
Is it true that there were no rules?
That's also a good question. The answer is it is absolutely true that there was not a single rule in that country. So anyway,
again, leading off from your last point about you said that the war didn't give you your personality, but you gave your personality to the
my personality.
That part just didn't make sense to me.
I said my personality shaped the outcome of that war. And do you know what happened to that war? How did that war end up?
We won.
We lost.
One of you's right. One of you's wrong. Little Triv, you're not very smart, so do you think you're right or wrong?
Well, since I'm not smart, I would guess that my answer is wrong, but I think that it's right because I'm not smart.
Bingo.
So I'm right.
You're wrong. We lost that war. And my personality is the thing that kind of
lost
made it so terrible. We went there, no strategy, just going around, just raising it to the ground. Just ash, fire, flakes. It just, it was disgusting, and it was repulsive, and many men lost their minds.
When I read about the Vietnam War, and I like try to think about like who it reminds me of, it's you. But why don't I see any mention of you in the history books?
I'm glad you asked, because that brings me back to my story. After I crash landed on the cushy green leaves of the Vietnamese canopy, I was found by some men, black ops. And the thing is, they were covered in paint that was green, so you'd think they were green ops. But, well, anyway, it's because of the camouflage. Now, that means you're hiding with paint. And I talked to these guys for a little while, and they eventually decided this guy's got some balls. So I joined in with them. And that's why I said I was blue ops. Do you know why I was blue ops and they were black ops?
No.
Because I didn't receive any training, and I was blue collar, and I was not authorized to do any of the things I was doing. I was not even properly drafted. I was not enlisted. I was not in any records. I just snuck my way into Vietnam, much in the way that little girls during the Civil War would dress up like young men and join the army to fight for their country. And that's what I did. I just snuck on one of those big black helicopters, and they flew me to the jungle. And I made a name. Well, I didn't make a name for myself, but I made an impact on that country. I can look back and say, wow, I affected that place.
Now, Lamigan, not to detract from your encapsulating war story, but isn't it aggravating that black ops doesn't mean that the people are black or like they are
African-American?
No, African-American, sure. That would make it easier, but they aren't wearing black. How you just said that how black ops wore camouflage, Chef, when they paint their bodies. And you're blue ops, but you're not blue. You're white.
Chef.
Yeah.
So are you saying that you think that black ops meant African-American?
I'm hesitant to say yes, but yes.
Black ops simply means... No, you know what? You're right, damn it. I agree. Why? I don't know why the hell they were wearing green.
Like,
I didn't even ask. They just said, we're black ops, buddy. You're about to get fried by some napalm. And I said, okay.
And when I hear blue ops, I think of people dressed in blue. When I hear yellow ops, and so on and so forths.
Oh, sorry.
Oh, are you thinking about something?
Yeah, I was thinking about my time and how difficult it was. And I think that... I'm reading this hand sanitizer here, and it says... So there's this antibiotic Germ X. You know what that is, Seth?
Sounds like something you would use.
On your hands. It says Germ X, and then somebody wrote in Sharpie, antibiotic resistance, and then half the word is covered by the Germ X logo, but I can tell what it says, is a real problem.
Lamigan, little Triv told me that before I was on the show.
He's not doing too well?
He wasn't doing well. And I think he's still in terrible health. So that's a concern. But he also told me that you
used Germex as lotion.
You thought Germex was lotion.
I use it as lotion for my lesions. You know how it's an antibacterial?
Oh, I understand that.
I have very bacterial lesions. White bacteria layers.
And have they spread, or are they... Just on one part of your body?
Deep
or?
Into the layers of my skin, they have spread.
Now, as far as the lotion part goes, you understand that Germex evaporates within seconds?
I think that's why I like it so much. It works. Lotion stays on your skin for a little too long, but Germex goes away pretty quick. And I think that's what I like about it. It's because it pretty much disappears.
Yeah, you do have that chalky skin.
And I, you know, Seth, I like it that way. I like having rough skin. How does Sydney like that? I don't think she ever found out that the feeling of my skin.
Oh, yeah, right. No contact, right?
No contact. She's a vegetable. So I'm going to read you the rest of what it says in this bottle.
Yeah, sure.
So it says, antibiotic resistance is a real problem. And then on the bottle it says, kills 99.99% of germs. And then somebody wrote in Sharpie, and the remaining 0.1% are the strongest. So what they're saying is, instead of throwing... So these people think that this bottle of Germex is wrong to use. They think that it's causing antibiotic resistance. So instead of saying, why don't I throw away this bottle? They just wrote a Sharpie message on it and left it there. So basically, that's like saying leaving a big bottle of cyanide and saying,
"Why is this here?
Don't drink this." Of course, I'm gonna drink it.
Do you want to know why, Lamigan? Because this station is run by dead hippies.
Well, good riddance. I remember spitting in their face when I came home from Vietnam. You know,
that's the funny part, Lamigan, is that most people didn't want to go fight in the war and weren't volunteering.
Oh, I loved it.
You just hopped right on that black op helicopter.
Well, it's funny because, you know, they used to spit in the face. Okay, so you'd get home and these hippies would spit in your face because you were a killer. And a lot of these poor young men did not want to kill. They did not want to do what they did. So, what I did is when I heard tell of this, when that big black helicopter landed in the airport in America after the war, I approached the hippies and I looked them in the eye and I saw them. You know, you could actually see them start to slash around their spit like they were ready to hock a loogie in my face. So, you know what I did? I spit in their faces. And I had so much spit because I was so hateful that they were wiping it out of their eyes, nose, and mouth. And never, ever did a hippie spit in my freaking face.
Do I even need to be on this show? Hey guys, can I ask you an honest question?
Yes. Yeah.
Do I even need to be on this show?
Well, we were just thinking about your health. Did you hear us talking about your health?
No, I went to the bathroom and I couldn't hear anything.
Well, truly, we're concerned because you bring up a good point. When we do the show now, you sit there and you push the buttons, and you make the funny noises and stuff, and you play the YouTube clips, but you don't say much.
It's like you're what? It's like you're getting...
That was quiet.
It's like you're getting dumber and less healthy.
Do you know what happened to Ronald Reagan in his second term of his presidency?
The jelly beans.
That was a big part of it. And yes, I think that was just in the second term. But do you know what happened to him?
He started eating the jelly beans.
Lamigan,
eating the jelly beans.
He got how do you say it?
Uh-oh.
Old-timer's disease.
I call it Alzheimer's.
Are you trying to tell us something?
Little or
are you
Triv, just a little anecdote
about Reagan?
Little Triv, you're only 22. In dog years...
I'm 54 and no, I don't have old-timers or Alzheimer's, however you pronounce it. I'm just trying to be cute.
Well, there's nothing more adorable than pretending to have Alzheimer's.
So you guys like the way I just sit back and fiddle with the buttons?
Yeah, I think it's cute.
Yeah, you got good at it, at least.
Can you tell us a story about when you were a kid in the streets?
Actually, we're going to take a break.
Hallelujah!
So you guys wanted to hear an old story about when I was a little kid that was kind of a mean kid?
I want to hear an old story about when you were young.
Yeah, please. And can you play a song from the era with which you were a kid? Which would be what exactly?
Oh, you read my mind. I'm the 60s? I'm playing something in the background. It's going to sound like stuff that I'll be playing when I was a little kid.
How old are you? 80?
This makes me question your story.
You're older than your dad?
You guys know I have a rough past. But not many people know how it started way out on the east side. There were greasers and there were women with, you know, just
leggings.
Really hot.
What?
Let him finish.
There were really hot ladies with leggings. And if they weren't greasers, they were nerds. And if they weren't nerds, they were probably your dad. And I'm talking about the guys. And we're talking about the 50s. As you can tell from the music.
I like that in the 50s, there were greasers and nerds. But when it came to women, though, most of them they wore leggings and were hot.
That's a good point. And I was going to ask you, Little Triv, is it true that in the 1950s, nothing bad happened?
You know, I was going to say it depends on who you ask, but no matter who you ask, they'll tell you that nothing bad happened in the 50s, yes.
So what was the story you were going to tell us? Oh, something really good?
It wasn't even that bad, yeah.
You want a bubblegum at the corner store?
My pop said there was no guns in the 50s.
I didn't really start my gun and my dealing and my assaulting until the late 60s, early 70s. Ransacking, the 50s were a good time. And this is more of a sad story about my lunches.
Well, why don't you get it going, okay?
Do you know how at the school they have you have a cafeteria and everyone's sitting around and they all got their crappy lunch with their moms? Your moms definitely made for them?
Yeah, at the long tables with the circle seats?
Yes, and I don't know what it was like in the 50s, but it was pretty similar to a circle table.
No, long table with circle seats.
I don't want to say for sure, Seth, but it could have been.
Let's hear it. Let's hear the story.
Okay, do you want me to just wrap it up?
It hasn't even started.
It's been starting for 5 minutes. Let me just get to the story. This is the story of my life. Hold on, we can play this after. So he gets a lunch. When I sat down at the table, this is the first day of school, 5th grade maybe, everyone left as soon as I sat down, and it's because they had classes, but I was late to lunch. And then so the next day, I decided to come there an hour earlier so that I would get there at the same time as everyone else.
I'm getting a little confused at the scheduling.
That's the whole gist of the story. So I got there the next day an hour earlier.
So you came to school on a Saturday and no one was there.
Well, yeah. And then I realized there was nobody there. And I thought, what's going on? And that's when I learned
it was Saturday.
There's the weekend. And then I went back on Monday. And I was still confused about the Saturday. So I went to lunch 2 hours earlier than the first time I tried. And there was no one there still. And I waited for an hour. And then people started to trickle in.
Can I ask you something? Was it so early that it was still dark outside?
It was so early that you could... There were still birds chirping. And
the moon was high in the sky.
And the grass was wet.
And what grade was this?
5th.
So in the 5th grade, after all this time, you finally learned about the weekend.
Yeah, when did you learn about the weekend, Seth? It's not like you just magically know what the weekend is. You have to learn it at some point.
Well, my parents taught me earlier. I'd say probably 3rd grade. I learned that I had days off.
Oh, sorry, Seth. My father was in the military fighting for our country.
Black Ops?
No, he was a regular cigarette-smoking killer.
How many did he kill?
In that generation, Lamigan, the greatest generation on Earth, they don't talk about the kill number like you do.
Huh. Well, I didn't say a number, did I?
No, because I don't think you could even come close to guessing.
Little Triv, I want to ask you something. How many times...
I'm just asking you a question.
How many times did you go to school only to find out you were the only one in the building?
Most of the school.
What?
Most of the school days you'd go
most
and
the
you'd
days?
Be only...
Days. Most of the school days.
Okay, that makes more sense. So let me ask you, how'd you get in the building if it was... closed.
You had a key, right?
Did you know the janitor?
Yes.
Huh.
Okay.
Makes sense.
Funky little story.
Well, you guys wanted me to tell the story, and well, what did you think?
I just thought there'd be a little meat on those bones.
Just a few more there.
You see why I just sit back and press the buttons?
A little bit.
So you just told a long, half-hour-long story about killing and being in the Black Ops, and then it was my turn to tell a story, and in less time, in more time than it took you to tell your exciting story, I told a long, uneventful story, but it was still a story.
Okay, fine.
Oh, Seth, we started talking about it last week. Your grandparents.
And about them?
Murdered.
Well, that's not exactly right.
Your grandparents murdered.
So we're doing three stories today?
I don't want to hear the story. Yeah. We talk.
We started
it last
week.
I don't want all their stories to be about murder.
And I didn't want to hear. I didn't want to hear the story.
Your
just,
story was cute, though.
Yeah, I didn't want to tell it. I didn't really want to hear your story about the grandparents, but I felt bad. We started it last week and had to cut you off because we had Milman.
Well, we'll get back to it another week.
Hey, what'd you think of Milman?
I thought Milman was interesting. I thought that. The stuff he had to say about the Inuits and especially the cockroaches. I'm always intrigued by men, specifically men, who house exotic pets. I can imagine someone like myself doing that. I can imagine someone like Landon Lamigan doing that.
I was actually interested. He actually shot me an email and said that I was one of the nicest people he ever met. And I forgot to respond. So,
oh, yeah, you guys had the whole I don't have a phone thing in common, right?
Yeah. Well, we got about 11 minutes left, and Seth, I'm...
Was that bullcrap, by the way? Were you making that up?
I was just yanking his chain that whole time, just leading him along like a little puppy on a leash. But, you know, little Triv, if you don't mind, I got a friend waiting outside. His name's Kieran. And I thought we'd bring him out and just have you sort of sit back and let him talk for a while.
You mean I just scoot off to the side or let this...
He's pretty fat, you can say it.
This fat guy.
Yeah, come on in, Kieran.
Could you give up your seat?
All right, come on, Kieran. All right, so Seth, this is Kieran.
Hello.
Oh, hello, Kieran. Do I...
You guys know each other.
Yeah, you look familiar.
You do alarm me.
About me?
Seth, you don't want to be rude to Kieran.
What exactly,
he's not kind.
What exactly about me alarms you?
To be out
me.
Oh, excuse me. Excuse me for a second, Kieran.
Seth, you need to calm down.
Excuse me.
Please don't patronize me.
Now I'm alarmed because you're taking up two seats. Little Triv, I'd like it if you got back in your seat.
That's where you're supposed to
sit, and I've been used to having you sit there for the past 2 years.
I don't like Kieran.
You need to please not talk down to me. Stop patronizing me.
So, Kieran, tell him what we did last night to those puppies.
Oh, Lamigan, this is your friend.
Yes. This is Kieran.
We actually just met.
Tell them what we did last night to those puppies by the train tracks.
Well, I was just sitting. I was there because I was just getting off work, and you came up there, and you tied all the puppies together, and you held a pistol to my face and said, "You're going to be my friend now," and then the train whizzed by.
Okay, that story was maybe halfway accurate. No, I didn't tie them up. I gave them a bottle of milk.
But you...
You
held a gun to my face.
No, it was a rubber bullet. It was a rubber bullet. It wouldn't have killed you. It was a gun.
That sounds like Lambigan.
But that's not me.
The puppies, you lulled them into a false sense of security, and then the train ran them over, correct?
They were stuffed animals. I like to mess with people.
I don't think they were stuffed animals.
All right, we're kicking Kieran out. Lambigan, you not pull people off the train track and bring them into the studio again?
He was normal last night.
Well, what'd you do to him?
I don't know, something that gave him two voices.
You shoot his neck with a rubber bullet?
I mean, I shot him in the temple. Didn't do anything to him.
Why do you do that, by the way?
Because it's like killing, but it's like the thing that kills. It's like stabbing somebody with a plastic knife. It hurts really bad, but it won't break the skin. Have you ever just walked up to somebody with a plastic knife and just stabbed them as hard as you could?
No. So you want to kill, and you like to give yourself the adrenaline rush of killing, but you don't want to go to jail, so you use plastic.
I have never killed anybody. I've never killed anyone, okay?
So all that crap about Vietnam you were saying, that was a lie?
It was vain. It was in vain.
Lambigan.
Hey, by the way, we were supposed to have Mike Polk Jr. come in at the studio last weekend. We canceled on him, and do you guys want to tell him why we didn't do the show? Seth, you want to explain what we were doing?
Nope.
Prison. I'm sorry.
We all spent a couple days in prison.
And what city?
Detroit.
That's right. We were in prison in Detroit because Lambigan kept holding up his gun to people's faces.
Hey, I had fun. Hey, come on, leave me alone. I had some fun. Hey, it was fun. Oh, I hate our listeners. They want so much from me.
They don't really listen to anything, really.
I like to think they listen to me. I think of the show as more like a long conversation. I always forget the listeners exist.
I think it'd be fun to broadcast somewhere different next week. What do you guys think?
Maybe the Indians game.
Maybe the Capitol?
Ooh, the Capitol down in Columbus.
Mm.
You know what I'm thinking? Which we'll announce soon. There's a lot of news to come up. Little Triv live on a stage. Broadcasting live from a stage in front of an audience.
Oh, people would lose it.
I think what we would have to do is make the signs to tell them to laugh. And so you could hear the laughter over the radio.
That's a good idea.
This is Little Triv signing off. It is a good idea.